step I take, my Savior goes before me. With his loving hand he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Each step I take.
Thank you for that. All right, Psalm 5 tonight, if you would please. Psalm 5, good for everybody out this evening. Psalm 5. It's good to see you. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're here, whether you're glad or not. It sounds like most of you are glad. That's good. That'll help me a little bit that you're glad. A lot worse when you're not glad to be here. When it comes to preaching, so we're kind of glad that you're here tonight. Psalm 5, working on the presence of God, or working on the series on the presence of God. We're going to pick that thought up again tonight. Psalm 5, look if you would in verse 1, just three verses tonight. Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I want to deal with this thought tonight. To know God's presence, he must hear from us every morning. To know God's presence, he must hear from us every morning. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask his help. And we'll see if we can't deal with this evening. Brother Warren, why don't you lead us in prayer if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Hang on to Psalm 5 and keep your Bible open. We're going to do a little bit of turning as we get started, and then we'll settle in here to Psalm 5. If there was ever a man in the Bible or in the Word of God who knew about prayer, it was certainly David. Daniel would be another man we would think of who is very familiar with prayer, but David's certainly familiar with it. I've never taken the time to total it up, but I would be surprised if we did so and did not find out that David wrote more about prayer than any other man. So he was a man who was certainly very familiar with it. That makes me feel good in this sense. It kind of makes me feel bad when I see how much he prayed, but it also makes me feel good in the sense when I see that he had so many problems, but yet was still a man who was a man of prayer. And I think that's part of what God meant when he called him a man after his own heart, was he spent a great deal of time in prayer. Now in our text, in Psalm 5, in verse 3, David spoke here of beginning each day in prayer. He said in verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, and then he emphasizes it again, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. So he speaks here of prayer in the morning. Hold on to Psalm 5. Look over in Psalm 86, if you would. Psalm 86. And Psalm 86, this was a practice that David had apparently every day. He was certainly a man who understood prayer every day. I believe he was a man who had the practice of praying every morning, every day. In Psalm 86, he says this in verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. For thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee, how often? Daily. He said this was something that David practiced daily. He was a man who understood this concept of daily prayer. And in Psalm 5, David emphasizes the fact that every morning he would pray and that God would hear his voice in the morning. Look from there, if you would, to Psalm 55. David, though, didn't just speak of prayer in the morning. We know that David spoke of prayer at other times besides the morning, or in addition to the morning. In Psalm 55, a verse that you may not know just by the text, but you've heard it before. In Psalm 55 and verse 16, David said this, "As for me, I will call upon God, and God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry, O Lord, and he shall hear my voice." So David said, I pray daily. He emphasizes morning in chapter 5, verse 3. But in Psalm 55, we learn that David prayed more than just in the morning. He had the practice of morning, evening, and noon type prayer. So he prayed at least three times a day, he says. But even that wasn't enough for David. You all tuned in? Even the three times a day and in the morning wasn't enough for David. Look what he says in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 164, in Psalm 119, verse 164, David says this, morning, then morning, afternoon, and evening. And in Psalm 119 and 164, he says this, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments, or because of thy judgments. God here, David here speaks of speaking unto the Lord. He doesn't use the word prayer, but praise is the idea of speaking unto God. Seven times a day, David mentions now that he prays unto the Lord. So it's morning, then morning, evening, and noon, and then seven times a day, or continually would be the idea, God or David spoke unto the Lord. So he was a man of prayer. Can you agree with that? He was certainly a man who understood prayer and who was very serious about this thing of prayer. Think about this. We're too busy to pray that much. Of course, David had time because all he did was ran a country. But he, somehow or another, in running a country, found time to pray and to spend time in prayer. You awake? Okay, you look a little draggy tonight. Hang in there. David was a man who could teach us something about prayer. I think he was a man who could teach us much about prayer, the necessity of it, especially the daily, regular practice of prayer in our everyday life. Because I've said this before, and I know it from dealing with people, and even in my own life, that probably the area in which we are the weakest is in the area of our prayer life. Even if we are Bible readers, we tend many times to be weak in the area of prayer. We're much more faithful in Bible reading than we are in our prayer time. And so David can certainly teach us something about that. Now, all the time that David spent in prayer was an important example to us. The whole concept of morning, afternoon, and evening prayer is a great example for us. When he mentions seven times a day or constantly in prayer, or as Christ said, you know, that we should be continually in prayer, always praying, this idea of attitude of prayer, all those things are lessons to us and examples to us that we ought to emulate. Nothing wrong with praying morning, noon, and evening. We should take some time for prayer at different times. Nothing wrong with a continual mindset of prayer. But when it comes to our topic, which is the presence of God and knowing the presence of God in our daily life, none of these times of prayer are more important than the practice of morning prayer. Spending time in the morning in prayer before the beginning or before the start of our day. You with me? They're all important. All these are important examples of prayer. It's good for us to pray at noon, a little booster there in the afternoon. It's good for us to pray in the evening because we probably got some stuff to confess by then. So it's good to spend these times in prayer. But when it comes to knowing His presence in our daily life, none of them are more important than morning times of prayer. I think if we're serious about pursuing His presence in our daily lives, we cannot overestimate how important it is that we begin the day with prayer. And in the beginning of our day, we spend time with Him. I mean, how important is it that if I'm going to know Him and walk with Him throughout the day, that I start the day by talking with him and start the day by spending time with him. How much more of his presence might we know and maintain throughout the day if before we face the day, we spend some time with him? If we walk with him and talk with him at the beginning of the day, we might find more of his presence throughout the day. And so it's all these times of prayer are important. I don't know that in the big scheme of things whether one is more important than another, but when it comes to the pursuit of his presence, I don't think any time of prayer is more important than that time in the morning, to start the day with him as we head out to live our life, to spend that time in prayer. So tonight, we're just going to take a few moments and look at some simple things about how important it is, if we're going to know his presence, to know prayer in the morning and to spend or begin each day with some time in prayer. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Notice in chapter 5, back over in our text, in Psalm 5, not chapter 5, but Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, I want you to notice a couple things that David tells us in verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3. First thing we notice in this whole theme tonight is this. We see David's commitment to prayer. He says in verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." That is a commitment to prayer that David makes in verse 3. Now, David makes a statement here that can be taken one of two ways or possibly even both. So we can look at it from either of two directions, and really we can probably look at it from both ways. Neither one would be wrong. The first thing that we see about it is this, that David's statement can mean that when he prayed in the morning, he knew that God heard him. When he says in verse 3, he says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." This can be a statement of confidence by David. I know that when I pray in the morning, the Lord will hear me. And so it can be a statement of confidence or of faith that God heard David when he prayed in the mornings. That would kind of be in line with what he says in verse 1 and 2, because he makes three requests in verse 1 and 2. When he says, first of all, number one, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Then secondly, he pleads with the Lord to consider his meditation, the thoughts of his heart. Then verse 2, he says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." Then verse 3 could be a statement of confidence that having expressed those three desires, he knew that God would hear him. So the first one of these could be this statement of confidence that God hears or that God would listen to David's prayer. It's a statement of faith, let's say it that way, that by David, that when he sent his requests up to God at the beginning of each day, he believed by faith that God would hear him. David believed by faith that if he prayed, even though he didn't immediately see the answer, and though he may not have immediately seen a response, that God would hear his request and would hear his pleas. It's 1 John 5, isn't it? I think around verse 14, where he says that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. And so David had that confidence that God would hear him if he prayed. Now, there's not one of us in this room tonight, I would say, that would not say, "I believe that when I pray, God hears me." David, however, had the faith. David had such faith in that truth that it drove his prayer life. If you want to know why David prayed so much, and especially why he began each day in prayer, it was because of this. It was because he believed that if he talked to God, God would hear. And if God heard him, then he would have his request answered. In other words, he said, "I pray every morning because I believe that if I pray, God will hear me. And I know that if God hears me, he will respond." Now, is that a guarantee he'll respond the way David wanted him to? Well, of course, we know that's not the case. God will respond in the way that's best for us. But David said, "I'm absolutely confident that if I pray, God will hear. And if God hears, he will respond according to his will." Now, if I were to ask tonight, how many of you believe that? There's not a hand in here wouldn't go up. But what we've got to understand is this. Here's a great truth that comes to us out of David's life and applies to all of us. And it is this, that faith drives prayer. You know, we can come and kneel down and talk about how we need to pray, and we can talk about how we need to pray. But the reality is, it is our faith that drives prayer. And this is the whole idea if we approach verse 3 from that perspective. David's saying, "I pray every day because I know that God hears me." That's faith, that God hears when we pray. One of the real measures of our faith is not simply how often we come to church, as important as that is. One of the real evidences of our faith, or one of the real manifestations of our faith, is not just 100 other things that we may do and they may be important. But one of the real manifestations of our faith, the genuineness of it, and how deep it is how often we pray or how much attention we give to this thing of prayer. Because I'm telling you tonight, faith drives prayer. How much we believe this truth, that if I pray, God hears. And if God hears, He will respond. And how much you and I believe that is not demonstrated by whether we lift our hand, if I were to ask that question. It's demonstrated by the reality or the quality or the quantity of our prayer life. If we really believe this, we would begin each day in prayer. I'm hoping you're chewing on that. That's why you're so quiet. If we believe that, it's how often, how faithfully we pray. There's nothing more rubber meets the road when it comes to faith than the belief that God hears our prayers. Belief in this is what drives the prayer life. It's what drives us to our knees. It's what makes us pray. So much so that if we had the faith to believe that when we pray, God hears us, when He hears, He responds, you could not keep us from prayer in the morning. If we believe that God heard and responds, hears and responds when we pray, you could not keep us from our knees. We would never dare walk out the door, Brother Hubbard, until we've prayed. We would never dare make a decision in the day until we have sought God in prayer, if we genuinely believe that. Moreover, we would be frightened. We would be scared to leave our house until we had spent time with God if we really believe that God heard and answers prayer. And I think we believe that intellectually. But there's a difference between having faith that that is true that drives us to our knees. How are we going to know His presence if we don't have the faith to believe that He hears us in prayer? How are we going to know His presence if we don't have faith that drives us to our knees each and every morning? How are we going to know His presence, or how are we going to trust in Him or walk in His presence if we start our day without first speaking to Him? How can we talk about knowing His presence and walking with God throughout the day and thirsting for Him throughout our day if we don't start the day by speaking to Him? David says, I'm going to pray every day. And I believe that this is in part a statement of confidence. David says, I'm going to pray and your Lord's going to hear my voice in the morning because I know that God will hear me if I pray. And so David says, this is the case. And I think it's a testament to our faith, or our prayer life is a testament to our faith. And I think our genuine faith and the belief that God hears and responds to prayer is demonstrated by how much time we pray in the morning. I would say that so many of God's people, if they're Bible readers, get up in the morning, drink their coffee, because that's the only way you can rightly read your Bible. So you get up and drink your coffee in the morning and read your Bible. And how many of us, though, we get our boxes checked off on our reading list, but we spend very little time in real prayer? David says, I'm not going anywhere until I pray, because I believe God hears me when I pray. And then secondly, this could also, obviously, in verse 3, be a statement, or a statement that can be taken as a commitment, a resolution, a promise that every morning he would hear David's voice through prayer. Verse 3 could also be a commitment, could it not be? It could be a statement of faith. I believe that God will hear my voice when I pray. Verses 1 and 2, that's what he's asking for. Then secondly, we could also take this as a commitment. David is saying, because I want God to respond in verse 1 and 2, God will hear my voice every morning. I will pray. I will seek Him. I will take time to pray, and God will hear my prayer. Now, this doesn't strictly mean the sound of David's voice. I like verse 1 and 2. It says that he cries out for God to hear his words, but not just his words, the meditation of his heart or the thoughts of his heart, the inclinations of his heart. Thankful tonight, we don't serve a God that has to hear our words. Amen. But I know this much, the more something is in our heart, the more likely it is to be expressed in words. That was the case with Hannah in the Old Testament. That meditation of her heart was so great that it came out of her mouth and expressed itself in words. When you're serious about praying something, it'll become outward. Amen. We'll get on our knees and pray. Next thing you know, your mouth is moving or you're saying something because we're so earnest in prayer. And so he talks here about earnest or real prayer. So God doesn't have to hear it, what we say. As far as words are concerned, but if we're serious about it, many times we'll find words. But David in verse 3 could just as easily be saying in verse 3, Lord, you can have no doubt you will hear my voice and the desires of my heart each and every morning before I begin my day. Now, we won't ask tonight because we don't embarrass anybody, but it'd be interesting to know if the Lord could count on that from us. How many of us could say, this past week, God has heard from me every single morning before I begin my day? I wonder how many of us could say, the Lord knows that I will not begin my day until I've spent some time and spoken unto Him. God knows that's true of me. David here, I think, also makes that commitment. God, I won't go anywhere. I'm not going to do anything until I have spoken unto you. You can interpret it either way if you like, but in reality, either way of looking at this goes together, because the first encourages the second. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. If we believe by faith that God will hear when I pray, then why would God not be assured that He's going to hear from us? They both are combined. It is faith that drives our prayer life. We pray, hopefully, because we believe God will hear us, and we know that if God hears us based on His promise, He will respond according to His will. Well, if we believe that, then it will drive us to prayer every morning. If I really believe that God hears me and God responds, why would I leave my house till I've prayed and spent time with Him? One drives the other. And David says he's made this commitment. He believes God will hear him. Therefore, he spends time in prayer every day. So if we're going to know His presence in our daily life, then we've got to start each day with Him. I can't simply check in with Him when I need Him sometime later in the day. I need to begin my day with Him. But it's never going to happen unless by faith we believe that it matters. No, did you just hear what I said? We're never going to be people of prayer in the mornings. We're never going to be people like David who said, I'll not leave my house till I've prayed, until we come to the place in our life that we believe it matters. Do you believe it matters whether you seek Him in prayer before you leave, before you start your day? Do you believe it matters that you've sought God's face before you begin the duties of your day? We won't pray until we believe it matters. We won't take the time. We take time to do what we think matters. I'll say it again. We find the time to do that which we think matters. And we'll find time to pray when we believe it matters. And the problem is, this is an issue of faith. Do we believe it matters? Do we believe that God hears and God responds? Well, if God hears and responds, then it matters. And we won't take the time to pray in the morning before we start our day until it matters. Look over in Job 21. Now, Job 21 expresses the belief of the world. And we would never vocally express this belief, but we ought to make sure that we don't express it in practice. And in Job 21, he says this in verse 15. This is the world's view. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And now notice, and what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? You see, the world looks at prayer and thinks it's ridiculous. To them, it's just a good luck charm if they pray at all. They pray, those who pray, and have no idea who they're even praying to or what they're praying to. They just pray, and for them, it's just a hope sent out into space or somewhere. But if we're saved tonight, and we believe that God hears prayer and responds to prayer, then it does matter. And we ought to ensure that we never express and practice what the world expresses outwardly. Amen. The world thinks prayer is foolish. They think it's a waste of time. They think it's a crutch. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But we know that it does matter. And we ought never express in our life, it matters. And if we believe it matters, then we ought to be like David and say, every day, every morning, I will spend time with God and He will hear my voice before I start my day, because I believe it matters that I have talked to Him today. So David says, first of all, that in verse 3. This is both a commitment, I think, and also a statement of faith. David says, I believe by faith God will hear, therefore I make the commitment that I will pray every day. I will not be in practices of the world, because I believe it matters that I took the time before I walked out the door to spend time with Him. And then secondly, notice this. David, we've seen David's commitment to prayer, but then also I think, and we're not going to take a lot of time with this because it's kind of self-evident, but secondly, I think there's God's expectation of prayer. God expects us to pray. God expects to hear from us in the morning. Do you really think tonight that God expects us to not speak to Him before we leave for our duties in the day? God expects to hear from me before I start my day, because God knows what's at stake. Come on, when you and I leave out in the house in the morning, we have no idea what we're facing. We have no idea what's going to come our way. We have no idea what we're going to experience in life. We have no idea what the next phone call or the next letter or the next visit or the next whatever may bring. We have no concept whatsoever. God expects us to pray, and He expects to hear from me. Do you know that God expects to hear from us every morning before we leave? He expects to hear our voice before we go about our day. There's reasons for that. We could turn to a lot of passages. Hebrews talks often about the fact that the way has been made open unto the holiest of all, that it's through the blood of Christ that He purchased the opportunity for us to enter into the veil, to speak unto God. It's through His blood that He made it possible for us to send our prayers upward unto God. That opportunity that you and I neglect in the morning was purchased with His precious blood. It must matter because God paid dearly for the right and the opportunity for me to be able to speak to Him each day. So it must be important because part of what was purchased with His blood was this opportunity to pray. And so God expects us to pray mainly because, or one reason, because He purchased that opportunity with the blood of His precious Son. We look at the world and think how sad it is that God has done everything necessary to save someone and then see them go to hell when everything that's necessary has been done. Well, how must God think of us when we struggle in life and we go through problems in life and we're tackling issues in life and difficulties in life and trials in life, and yet God's purchased the opportunity to seek His help through His blood, and yet we don't take advantage of it. God expects us to pray. Look at Isaiah 8. As true as all that is, God expects us to pray because He purchased us the opportunity to pray. He is God, after all. Probably kind of expects us to talk to Him, especially since He purchased that right with His blood. But one verse, as much as any other, expresses the truth that our God should hear from us, and He ought to hear from us daily. In Isaiah 8, He's dealing here with the heathen, and He makes a statement in verse 19 that is important. In verse 19, Isaiah 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep. You should never seek unto wizards that peep. And that mutter. Now notice what he says. Should not a people seek unto their God? You know what that statement means? This is the world saying this. Those encouraging them to seek unto wizards that peep and to those that mutter. And the statement that's made here is this. It is natural that a person would call upon their God. You know why God expects us to pray? Because it's natural. It's natural. If we're going to claim Him as our God, and if we believe that God hears prayer and responds to prayer, it's natural that we should respond. You understand this morning, it might be habit, but it is unnatural for someone to profess faith in God and belief in God to not seek Him in the morning. It's unnatural to do so. Because even the world understands, if there is a God and if He is everything that we claim He is, why would we not seek Him? It would be an unnatural act to face the trials of life and the struggles of life and the heartaches of life without speaking to Him. It would be unnatural to do so. I'm telling you, God expects to hear from us. I often wonder if we walk out the door, God goes, where are you going? What are you doing? You know what it is? It's a testament to the fact that we don't think it matters, and it's a testament to the fact that we think we can handle whatever comes our way today. After all, if I get in trouble, then I can go find Him. Might be handy if we stayed out of trouble and avoided some of these problems. This statement's true. It's only natural that a person would call upon his God and call upon Him every morning. You know, if we believe all that we claim to believe, and if by faith we believe He'll hear us and speak to us and respond to us and to the words of our heart, it is unnatural that He should not hear from us and that we should not begin each day speaking to Him. It goes back to what I said earlier. One of the true measures of genuine faith is our practice of prayer, or the weaknesses of it. So first, we ought to begin each day in prayer because we believe by faith that He'll hear us and He will respond. Since we have a promise that God will hear us when we pray, we ought to commit to Him that we're going to pray each day. And then secondly, it's not only is it true that the natural outgrowth of our faith ought to be prayer, but then secondly, it's only natural that if He's our God, we would speak to Him. It's only natural that He hear from us. It's only natural that if you sit here in service and I talk to you about how great God is, and you go, amen, brother, that's right. It's only natural that very next morning we would start with God. You're going to preach a message on how faithful God is, how good God is, how gracious He is, how merciful He is, how kind He is to us. It's only natural that those who would amen that would begin their day with prayer. It's only natural. God expects to hear from us. It's only natural that He do so. So not only does David make this commitment, David says, I commit to pray because I believe that God will respond. I believe if I pray, He will hear me. Therefore, I'm going to pray. It's only natural that we pray. He is, after all, our God, and all that we believe about Him ought to drive us to prayer. But then thirdly, as one writer wrote this, said this, and I think it's true. Thirdly, one writer said this, we ought to begin each day in prayer because you have something to say to Him. Amen. We ought to begin each day in prayer because we all have something to say to Him. We all have something that needs to be said. We all have something that ought to be said. We don't have time to leave without praying because we have something to say to Him. Friend, listen to me tonight. If you are a child of God living in this world and awaiting the Lord's return, you have something to say to Him each and every day and each and every morning. And if you're not practicing daily morning prayer, it's not because you don't have anything to say. Can I say that again? Because I got something to say about that. If you're not practicing daily morning prayer, it's not because you have nothing to say. You have plenty to say. It's whether or not we believe it matters that we say it to Him. We have plenty to say. Let me give you some examples. We have plenty to say to Him each and every morning. First of all, we have something to say to Him every morning as our God. In Psalm 5, look what it says in verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayers unto you, and look where? Up. He is our God. I ought to have something to say to Him in the mornings. In verse 7, but as for me, I will come unto thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. If He is our God tonight, then we have something to say to Him in the morning. Hallowed be thy name ought to be a part of every single morning of our life. When we get up and begin our day with Him, one of the first words of our mouths in prayer to Him ought to be worship and praise unto our God. Hallowed be thy name. Maybe not those words, but that concept that God is worthy to be worshiped and He's worthy to pray. Listen, you could get up every single morning of your life from the day you were saved until the day the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and you could not exhaust the praise for which He is worthy. And so we ought to begin, you know, maybe if we began each day worshiping Him and some praise of Him, we might be reminded throughout the course of our day of how great He is and how amazing He is and how wonderful He is. And the fact that it doesn't really matter who won what house or what Senate seat or what position, God's the one who's on the throne. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and He is Lord of my life. Amen. And we ought to begin each day in prayer and giving praise and worship and honor unto Him. Come on, y'all with me? I know prayer is not an exciting subject because we know so little of it. But it ought to be morning times should find us in prayer unto Him because we have plenty to say to Him. We should be able to spend the whole morning. How could we exhaust praising Him for His mercy and grace and graciousness and omnipotence and power and care of us, His providential workings in our life? How can we just say, thank you, God, for getting me through another night and give me another day? We ought to spend time every morning. We have plenty to say to Him as our God. We have plenty to say to Him in the form of worship and praise unto Him. And then secondly, we have something to say to Him every morning as our Savior. Amen. Look what He says in verse 7. He said, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. He talks about the mercy of God. Man, if there's anything we could thank God for and spend some time talking to God about in the mornings, it is His mercy as our Savior if we are saved. If we thanked the Lord Jesus Christ every day from the day we were saved until the day we're taken to heaven, it would never be enough for the salvation that He has given us. It would never be enough. And maybe if we began the day by reminding ourselves through thanksgiving unto God for the salvation that He's given us, maybe it would keep us upright during the day. A little bit more. If we just began the day that way. If He died in my place, He died as my substitute, saved me from death and hell and the grave, and I could thank Him every morning, and it would never be enough. Come on, I believe that. I'm just not saying that because it sounds good. I could thank him every day for what he has done in my life, Brother Warren. It would never be enough. I could not thank him for how he saved me from death and sin and condemnation. And hey, I'm not going to hell forever. That's something to thank God about every single day of my life. And he's brought regeneration and conversion and changed my life and given me a new home in glory. How can I get up in the morning and think I have nothing to say? I could thank him for that every day. Because he's worthy of that. I can thank the Lord Jesus Christ every morning for the new creature that he's made me, for the regeneration, for the new birth that he's worked in my life. And it would never, ever be enough. I've got something to say to him every morning as my God. Worship and praise. I've got something to say to him every morning as my Savior. Thank you for what you've done in my life. And I'm thankful that I'm a new creature and I'm not the man I once was, and my destiny and destination is not what it once was. Thank you. We have something to say to him every morning as our friend. Oh, we have a friend, the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to be excited for you. We have something to say to him as our friend. It says in verse 12, "But thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous, and with favor wilt thou compass him as a shield." He talks about favor and how he blesses the righteous. He is our friend. We have a friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. James 4:8 says, if we draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. How can I go about my day in this evil world? This is an evil world. And it's still evil, regardless of who won the election. It's still an evil world. How can we go about our day in this evil world with its sin, with its temptations, with its trials, with its challenges, with its struggles, with its pain, with its sufferings, with its disappointments, with its heartaches, with its difficulties, with its loss, without seeking out our friend every morning? This is why we get in trouble, is we leave our friend at home. This is why we fall into temptation and difficulty and struggle and make dumb decisions. Because we don't spend time with our friend, and then we wonder what happened. Not knowing what will come our way each day, how can I not seek my friend first thing? This is much more beneficial than seeking the news first thing. Finding out what's been posted on Facebook first thing is to seek our friend. This is a wicked world. And it's full of struggles and trials and difficulty and heartache and problems. And we never know what's going to come our way today. How can I start my day with getting down on my knees before I leave my house and spend a few minutes with my friend in prayer, talking to him and speaking to him? Because I know he hears me and he will respond. Amen? Fourthly, we have something to say to him every morning as one who is in constant danger. Not him, us. Who is in constant danger. He says in chapter 5, verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in thee and rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them." We are in constant danger. Do you believe that? We are in constant danger. In my saved life, each and every day I face a tempter. I face a tempter. I have an adversary who would want nothing more than to destroy my testimony, my life, my marriage, my home, my relationship with God, who would love nothing more than to do all of the above. I face a tempter, an adversary, an enemy. What words? Like a roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may, come on, what's that word? Devour. Do you understand the seriousness of the word devour? Who am I to begin my day, Brother Sam, without spending time with my protector? I am a man in danger in a wicked world with an enemy and an adversary and one who wants to destroy me, the one who's just waiting for me to make a simple, foolish decision, that one who's just waiting for me to put myself in just the right position, that one who's just waiting for me to say the right word or to look at the wrong thing or to think about the wrong stuff, and boom, he's got me. Who am I to go out in a world as dangerous as this without spending time with my protector? There's a couple things I don't leave home without. And one of them should be not without spending time with him. We are in a dangerous, dangerous world in a dangerous, dangerous time. And how could I set foot out my door until I've called upon my only real defense in prayer? God, get me through today without messing up. Amen? Lord, help me to see the snares that I'll face today. Help me see the dangers that the enemy has laying in wait for me. Help me to see them and understand them and to avoid them. Oh, listen, we ought to get on our knees before we leave our home and say, God, I cannot make it through this day without you as my defense and help. We've got plenty to say. We have something to say to him every morning as one who faces the challenging task. Listen to this. We have something to say to him as one who each day faces the challenging task of dying to self. In chapter 5, verse 8, lead me, O Lord, into thy righteousness. It says, make my way straight before thee. I have got to die to self that I might know his righteousness. I've got to stay off the path of self and pride and arrogance and self-direction and fleshly desire so that I might follow and pursue after his righteousness. Do you understand? If all the other things we've said weren't there, just this one would be enough. Right. The challenging task of dying to self. Sometimes it's not the adversary that's as big an enemy as I am my own self. And I need to get down before him every day before I leave my house. Say, Lord, I'm going out here. I'm going to face a wicked world. Help me die to self. Help me to recognize when my pride is rising up against me. Help me realize when I'm beginning to self-direct my life. Help me realize when I'm trusting in myself. Help me understand when I'm leaning on my own power. God, please don't allow me to get in the way of serving you. I want to die to self. We're never going to die to self unless we speak to him every morning and say, God, I want to die to self and I need your help to die to self. We have something to say to him because we have the challenging task of dying to self. We have something to say to him every morning as the one who wants to live today avoiding sin and the ruin that comes with it. In Psalm 5, verse 4, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Lord, I'm before you this morning because I don't want to be one of them. God, help me today to recognize sin when I see it. Help me to recognize the temptation to sin. Help me not to yield unto sin. Help me not to ruin my testimony today. Help me not ruin my marriage today. Help me not ruin my ability to serve you today. Help me not ruin what you might call me to do some other day. Lord, help me not to destroy my life today. This is a wicked world. You can't look anywhere. You can't go anywhere without being assaulted by sin. And when we don't spend time with him every morning is when we're vulnerable. You believe that? Come on, you got something to say to him every single morning. You have something to say to him every morning as one who is a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the local church. Amen. You've got something to say to him as a church member. Sure you do. You have something to say to him every day. As a part of one of his local churches, we have something to say to him, seeking the benefit of our church in prayer. If nothing else, we ought to pray every day, Lord, bless our church. We'll probably be a bit more specific than that, but Lord, bless our church. Lord, help the preacher that I finally might get something out of one of his messages. Lord, help him. Maybe if you pray for me every day, it'd get better. Lord, bless my Sunday school teacher. Help them study. Lord, be with so-and-so at the church. They're going through some struggles right now. Be with sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or the so-and-sos because they're going through some trials right now. Nobody else in the church knows about it, but it's a difficult time. They're going through this or they're going through that. God, please lift them up and encourage them. Don't let him or her fall into sin today. Protect them from temptation. They're facing the same enemy I am. Lord, please help them. And we have plenty to intercede for. You can divide our church up throughout the week and have plenty to pray for every single morning, just interceding for those who are a part of the same body of which we are a part. And hopefully they will do the same for you. We have plenty to say to him as a part of one of his churches. Lord, protect our church. Direct it. Help us not destroy what we have. We have something to say to him every morning as one who's going about his Father's business. Amen. We go about our day doing the business of our Father. And can I tell you today, you got enough just there to pray every day. We ought to get up every morning and pray unto him as one who's going about their Father's business. Lord, I've got to teach my class on Sunday. I need your help. Amen. Amen. I need your direction. I need some understanding as I study. Prepare their hearts for the lesson. Help me to understand it and to grasp it and teach it. Make it real to me that I might teach it to them. Lord, you sent us out in this world to witness to people. Help me to witness to this guy. Give me someone to witness to. Help me to talk to so-and-so. That's part of our business. Laboring, helping. We've got plenty to pray about as we go about our businesses. The services that we're involved in. Revival meetings. Kind of overlaps with being part of the body of Christ. But the church services. Man, how much can we pray every day for our church services? God, please give us some visitors on Sunday and give us some good service. Help us see maybe at least a Bible study established with somebody. Lord, that couple's been coming all this time. Lord, maybe this week would be the week you'd save them. Lord, would you speak to their heart especially? Faith Promise and Missions Conference and missionaries. Man, how busy can we pray praying for missionaries? You could pray for one missionary a day if a week was 43 days long. We got plenty to pray for. ABC classes, nursing home, master's club, VA. God, please help in all these areas. It's your business that we're about. And we need your help. We have something to say to him every morning as one who is surrounded by people in need and needs someone to intercede for them. Notice the change in language in verse 11 and 12 of this passage. It's been me, I. Then in verse 11, it says, let all those that put their trust in thee, let them shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful, for thou wilt bless the righteous. And he begins to pray for everybody and for others. You know, we've got something to say to him because there's not a one of us in this room tonight. Are you tuned in? There's not one of us in this room tonight that does not have an abundance of people in our lives who need intercessory prayer. Amen. There's not one of us in this room that doesn't have lost family members that needs to get saved today before something terrible happens. I don't know if today will be the last day or not. How can I leave my house until I've interceded for them? There are people that we know that are hurting. Amen. There are people who we know who are in physical need, financial need, need of salvation, need of spiritual guidance and direction. There are people who come to us in the course of a week and say, will you pray for me? And we say yes and never do. There's plenty to say to him. And there's people that we ought to intercede for every day before we leave our home. Lord, be with my wife today. Lord, be with my husband today. Be with our kids today. Be with our grandkids. Lord, protect them today. Oftentimes when I hear something that's happened to someone or some terrible thing that's happened, my first thought is, when's the last time I prayed for them? There's plenty to say and plenty to pray for. And lastly, we have something to say to him every morning. We have something to say to him every morning as one who is looking for and seeking to hasten his return. Look what it says at the end of verse 3. I'll pray and look up. If you could pray anything every day, it'd be this. Lord, could you come today? Could you just come today? If you think about it, if there's anything we ought to pray for, we leave our house every day. So, Lord, how about today? How about today? Because if you'd come today, all this other stuff wouldn't matter. If you'd just come today. You know, that doesn't mean that he'll come today. But it does mean this, if we could keep our mind fixed on the fact that he is coming, it might help our attitude in a whole lot of other areas. It might help us look at the trials that come our life a whole lot differently. It might make us more patient, more long-suffering. It might make us more understanding. It might do a lot of things. If we understand, know that today could be the day he comes. And what will really be important today if this is the day that he comes? I'm not going to lose my cool because what's it going to matter if he comes today? I'm not going to respond like that because what's it going to matter? If I don't do this and he comes today, well, that'll matter. We got something to say. Come on, you listening? I could keep this up all night, but you've already looked like you've heard all I've got to say. But we have plenty to say. David says, I'm going to pray in the morning. You want to know why God, you know why David said, I pray in the morning, then I pray in the afternoon, and then I pray in the evening, and I pray every day, and I pray seven times a day? Because I got more to say than I have time to pray. Amen. David says, Lord, in verse 3, he says, my voice you will hear in the morning. I know that if I pray, you will respond. I know I will be heard. Therefore, I'm going to make a commitment. My voice you will hear in the morning. I'm going to pray every single morning because I know it matters. I know you expect to hear from me because you purchased that opportunity through the blood of your son, we would say. Not only that, it's only natural that I pray. How can I believe what I believe and not begin the day with prayer? David says it does matter, or the Bible tells us it does matter. And if you and I aren't busy about this thing of prayer in the morning, it's not because we have nothing to say. We have more to say than you have morning to say it in. I don't know about you, but if you keep a prayer book, your prayer requests written down, because you can write them down, it's okay to peek. And so I keep mine written down because I got more than I can remember to say. I have so much to say that I have to divide it up through the week. I can't get it all said in one day. So I have to pray for some people on this day and some people on that day and these things on this day and these things on that day. I need 40 days in a week to get it all prayed for in a week. You can't get it prayed for in a week. But we have nothing to say. Now, I know we can't get it all prayed for in the morning, but there are certainly certain things that we ought to pray in the morning. He ought to hear from us as our God. He ought to hear from us as our Savior. He ought to hear from us every morning as one who's going to try to live this day dying to self, who's frightened of sin, and today might be the day I mess up. God help me. He ought to hear us from us every day as somebody who has people very dear to us who needs our intercession. Our marriages might be a whole lot better if we would spend the morning, time in the morning, praying for one another. Probably be ashamed if we were to look around and find out how many people haven't spent time in prayer for their spouse in the morning. It's important. We have plenty to say. If we're going to know his presence in our lives daily, then we have to begin every day, every morning in prayer to him. We ought to pray every morning because if we believe he will hear us, then we ought to commit. Lord, you're going to hear from me every day. And we ought to pray every morning because he expects us to pray every morning. It's only natural for us to pray. And we ought to start each day because we have plenty to say, more to say than we have time to say it. And we need to ensure that nothing hinders our morning prayer. Right. I love coffee. Say amen. Amen. Heard some guy this week, I was listening to a comedian, said that if you don't like coffee, you're crazier than a person who puts lipstick on a cat. Pretty crazy. But we'd be better off to give up our coffee if we had to take time to pray. If something gets left, it ought not be prayer. If I don't have time to do something, if I don't have time to eat, I ought to find time to pray. Because there's nothing matters more than to speak to my Savior before I leave. And if we're going to know his presence daily in our life, we have to start the day by speaking to him. How foolish to say, I want to know his presence today in my life, when we don't start the day by acknowledging him and speaking to him. Let me ask you this morning, how's your morning prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer, I think, over the next couple of weeks. But how is your morning prayer? I mean, do you take time to speak to Him? I mean, really speak to Him. Do you take time to read your Bible and then allow the time that's necessary to talk to Him? How could we think of starting a day in this world that we live in with the heartache and grief and sorrow and trials and dangers and not spend time with Him? How can I not start my day by praying for those I love? God, watch over them today. Our walk with Him and knowing His presence begins by speaking to Him in the morning. God will be one of the first people we talk to in the morning. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you will.